We thank you now, in this evening hour, for these wonderful meetings, for your word. Your word does not return void. That's how we read it. Lord, we also not only want to have sung that we love you, but we love you, Lord, because we know you loved us first. And the greatest love was that you have given your life for us. On the cross of Calvary, where you cried out, "It is finished." Lord, thank you. We pray now, continue to be with us. May you continue to speak to us through your precious and holy word. Lord, do it. Bless the speaker. Bless the listeners. Bless us all, O God. And also all who could not come, who had to depart already. Bless all, O God. All your people, everywhere, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you feel like I feel, then we get more and more grateful in our hearts and happier because we notice that God in a very mighty way works on us and in us, and that all of His Word has more to say to us than it ever had to say to us. It just means more and more to us. And we most certainly feel that we have more and more part in the things that God has promised. Not everything comes at once, but it comes. It comes by the help of God. Also, I would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord. To me, it is totally clear that you don't come to hear a man. I wouldn't do that either. Together we come here, as at that time, in the house of Cornelius, it was said, we are gathered in the presence of God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. And we have a wonderful message, and this was really commanded to us. And we may say, together with Paul, we are ambassadors in Christ's stead. A messenger without a message is not possible. Therefore, a message must be connected with the proclamation of the word in this time. In general, we call it end-time message, simply because it is determined for the end of time. And so, at the end of time, everything is summarized, what the Lord promised, what He foretold, and what is now being fulfilled. Before we go into our observation, let me make some earthly announcements. Firstly, you most certainly missed our beloved brother Paul Schmidt. He is for a recreation and unfortunately couldn't be here. He phoned and sends heartfelt greetings. And herewith I have extended the greetings. I would like to announce already tonight that on the first weekend in April, the meetings here are cancelled as we are used to have them on the first weekend. I have planned a longer journey to the USA and then to the Caribbean, especially to Jamaica, Kingston it starts, and then it goes on. And I won't come back until the 21st of April. But you all know, we have now these wonderful meetings. And very soon is again Pentecost. And I guarantee you that on Pentecost, this building will be too small. God willing, delegations are coming from India, from Pakistan, from Zaire, from Malawi, from various countries, they will come to give testimony of that, what the Lord has done there. But it is inevitable that I also have to travel from time to time, although I don't want. Our brother Barrier has got it a little easier, for he travels less often, and therefore it is easier for him. Then we have, God willing, on the 26th April, the meeting in Salzburg, and on the 27th in Zurich, and likewise, the first weekend in May is cancelled, because the first half in May, that is until the 11th of May, I will be in Italy together with Brother Etienne. We want to make there a campaign for Christ, a campaign for the truth in the name of the Lord. At first I didn't want to do it, but where better to go than to Italy? So, and then we have, God willing, the Pentecostal Conference on the 17th and 18th of May. And to this, I already want to invite very warmly afterwards. We will have then a small brothers' conference just a few days after this Pentecostal conference, being together with them who traveled far distances, or also from here, doesn't matter where you are, to go deeper into the Holy Scripture and perhaps answer questions which are still open. We even expect visit from Australia. I hope that my old friends can come, and most surely for them and for us, it will be a rich blessing. Now, we want, as we have announced, speak about that, what happened between Good Friday and the Easter Sunday. In general, you don't hear anything about it. Everybody preaches what happened on Good Friday. All speak about what happened on that glorious morning when the Lord rose from the dead. But until today, I didn't hear what happened in the meantime. And about this, we want to speak today. There is, of course, a denomination who believe in a soul sleep. They believe when a person dies, the soul sleeps just as the body lays in the grave. But this is not in conformity with all of the Holy Scripture. When God appeared to Moses in the burning bush, he said, after Abraham, Isaac and Jacob went home long time ago, he said, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. And Jesus refers to this word in the New Testament and says, God is not a God of the dead, but the God of the living. And God is, of course, not a sleeping God. No, certainly not. He is a living God. And he is a God of them who crossed over into life. Two words I would like to read first. I belong to them who always attentively notice what was read and said for the word of introduction. And here it is about the subject, I will dwell in your midst. Leviticus 26, verse 10. Leviticus 26, perhaps from verse 11. Leviticus 26, from verse 11. And I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. And I will walk among you, and will be your God, and ye shall be my people. This was the promise which God has given. And listen how Paul repeats it in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, second part from verse 16. For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. What wonderful words of God! Every time when men of God in the New Testament place the words of the Old Testament so nicely into the overall program, then my heart rejoices and jubilates. The same Spirit of God who was upon the prophets, he rested upon the apostles, and therefore the church of the living God was built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, where Jesus Christ himself is the chief cornerstone. Now we come to Luke 23. I would like to read a number of scriptures so that you all know that we don't just recite these things, but that we read them from the scripture and believe them as it is written. Luke 23 from verse 50 to 53. And behold, there was a man named Joseph, a counselor, and he was a good man and a just. The same had not consented to the counsel and deed of them. He was of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who also himself waited for the kingdom of God. This man went unto Pilate and begged the body of Jesus. And he took it down and wrapped it in linen and laid it in a sepulchre that was hewn in stone, wherein never man before was laid. So far, this precious word, it concerns the body of Jesus. And if we have to use this term body or corpse in reference to our Lord, then it hurts us a bit, because he is the King of kings and worthy of all honor and of all glory. But here he made himself of no reputation. He has put off his divinity. He was made in the likeness of man, and as the scripture formulates it, being found in fashion as a man. He ate and drank, was tired and slept, even that the waves did not wake him up, and the disciples came to him and asked him, "Do you not care that we perish?" Being found in fashion as a man, begotten by the Holy Spirit, but appearing in a body of flesh, so that he, for mankind who is in the body of flesh, and which fell in this body and was separated from God, so that he can redeem them in the same body to deliver us from the corruption of this mortal body into incorruption of the immortal body. And right about this, we want to speak today. His body was laid into the tomb. Many of us who we were in Israel, we have seen this tomb. And every time when I was alone there, I went inside and I knelt down and I thanked the Lord that the tomb is empty. All the other graves of Confucius via Buddha up to Mohammed and who they all might be, everything has stayed the same there, but not with our Lord. Our Lord was not a founder of a religion. He was not a philosopher. He was the Lord. He was the Redeemer. He came to take away the power of death and to bring eternal life to light for all who would come into his light and to be illuminated through him. Now, his body was laid into the tomb, but also he existed in the spirit. Let us read some other scriptures before we then come to the core of the matter. Zechariah chapter 9, and here we read verse 11 and 12. Zechariah 9, verse 11 and 12. As for thee also, by the blood of thy covenant, I have sent forth thy prisoners out of the pit wherein is no water. Turn you to the stronghold, ye prisoners of hope. There were people who died in the time of the Old Testament, but they died with the justified and living hope to the resurrection, and they were not disappointed. The Prince of Life died after the body, but after the spirit, he went down to the lower parts to lift up there what did not belong down there. Let us read from the prophet Hosea, chapter 13. Hosea, chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. Do you see what it is all about? Not about a religion, not about an idea, not about some kind of pious fantasy where one goes mentally into higher spheres. How many will wake up terribly if they don't accept the redemption in Christ? Our Redeemer had manifold areas of responsibility to redeem us, to pay the price, to give us eternal life. But he also had the task to deal with hell and with death. And also this he has done. Also this he has done. I read once again, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. All right. In the Old Testament, it says, I will ransom them. In the New, we can say, this scripture has been fulfilled before our eyes. Matthew 27 testifies of it. Many of the saints who slept arose with him and appeared unto many. He has delivered from the power of death. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. I will redeem them from death. Where are your plagues, O death? Where is thy pestilence, O hell? Yes, where is it? Where is the fear? Where is all that? We know him who went down to hell. You will say, is this really right? Of course it's right. He had to absolutely settle the account with all the powers of the enemy. And therefore, he had to descend down into hell. Do you think the devil could hide there? No. When our Lord was risen, he could say, I have the keys of death and of hell. This he not only said, this is right. Hallelujah. My Lord does not need to say something that is not true. We believe it with all our hearts. So, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. Lord, you have done it. You didn't disappoint anyone who waited for you, who waited that the redemption would come. Death, where is thy plague? Hell, where is thy pestilence? Yes, hell is a pestilence, this one can say, and a great plague. But God has ordained us to behold his glory. And we have this great offer of grace of our God to pass it on. And we do it with all our heart and with all our soul. Psalms 16, verse 10. We want to read now. Psalms 16, verse 10. Maybe one should read, for the sake of the context, read all three verses, 9 to 11. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. What a wonderful word. My soul rejoices. In Gethsemane, the Lord fought a great battle. But in the moment where Calvary became a reality, then the battle was over. He didn't go to hell with trembling and hesitation. He went down as the victor of Calvary. Not he trembled, but Satan and all of hell trembled. For the Lord of life was not come to remain there. He descended to take out what didn't belong there. In the Old Testament, the believers have shed the blood of the animals, and their sin was temporarily covered. But they had to wait until the great day of reconciliation. and the great day of reconciliation was on Calvary. This was the hour everyone was waiting for, who prophesied of the grace and who believed what was prophesied, namely in reference to the Messiah. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Let us read the words which Peter repeated in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Here we read verse 24. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Of course, according to the promise, one had to die for all. Earthly seen, we all die in Adam, or we are doomed to die with him. Every person who is born into this world is born to die, and everybody can already order his own grave after his birth, for nothing is more certain in life than to die. And therefore the Holy Scripture says, teach us to number our days so that we become wise. There are wise people, but this kind of wisdom God is not looking for. We want to have divine wisdom so that we can receive what He has prepared for us. Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Genesis chapter 3 verse 15 says it very clearly, that the old serpent would bruise the heel of the seed of the woman. But there, of course, it happened. It was in the plan of God. He had to receive the sting of death in him in order to swallow up death into victory. You have to swallow a thing to be able to devour it. And thus our Lord suffered death, not to remain in death, but to swallow up death and to manifest eternal life for mankind here on earth. Most of the people have pious dreams and they believe in a life after death and think it will be fine. Only he who received eternal life here on earth, as long as the time of grace lasts, he will have eternal life. The preparation for eternity starts not with death, it ends with death. This must be said clearly to the people. And if somebody thinks that three crosses at the funeral will change anything on the situation or the pious speech, he is very wrong. The change in our life must come now through faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, our Lord received the sting of death in himself. He died. He was not seemingly dead. He has shed the last drop of his blood. He was buried, that means laid into the tomb. But in the spirit, he descended. Apparently, the devil, who sometimes confronted him here on earth, saying to him, "Speak that these stones become bread. Cast thyself down from the pinnacle of the temple, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou shalt dash thy foot against a stone." The devil confronted him here very badly. And when the matter was finished here, he has fled and landed down there. And the Lord got him on the track. The Lord went after him and has said, "Thou art defeated. On the cross of Calvary, it is finished." Hallelujah. Praise and thanks be to our God. For his victory is our victory. We don't need to fear hell anymore. For me, the Lord has prepared heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. Our Lord, of course, said it. I go to prepare the place for you. And then I come again to receive you unto myself. The devil ran away, but this did not apply. The Lord got after him. I read now some scriptures from Romans chapter 7, verse 24, a well-known word for all Bible readers. Romans 7, verse 24. There Paul writes as follows, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Only up to here. Paul knew it is not only about redemption of our soul, it is also about the body, that this body can be changed back into a resurrection body, and the Lord has taken care for it. Also, we may say in desperation, because we don't feel at home in this body of flesh, it is something strange which veils in our new life. Because just be honest now, all people who are truly born again feel neither at home in this body nor in this world. It was laid something divine into a earthly tabernacle, and we are longing for to put off this earthly tabernacle so that the divine is placed into the divine, and to all trouble, to all groaning, an end is made. Based upon the word of the Lord, we can say and believe that it will be very soon. The time of grace runs out, and the time runs actually for us fully and totally. For God has not only eternity but also the time under his control. I read in 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 from verse 44 and then from verse 53. Here it says in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 44, "It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. We must see this today very clearly. It wasn't just about the redemption of our souls, not only about the forgiveness of our sins, not only about reconciliation with God, not only about eternal life. It was about the realization of the whole plan of salvation of our God. And that consists therein that His own, as sons and daughters of God, will be with Him throughout all eternity. And without a body, we cannot show up there. So, God has taken care for it, that we were even redeemed of this mortal body. And Jesus, our Lord, was of course laid into the tomb. But on the third day, He is risen. And with a resurrection body, that's how we are told, He could come into a room, although the windows and the doors were closed. And He stepped into the midst of His disciples and said, "Peace be unto you." Hallelujah! Death was overcome. Satan was defeated. Now only one has control over everything. And this is the Lord who has overcome and defeated everything. Let us please read from verse 53. "For this corruptible body must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where's thy sting? O grave, where's thy victory?" Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. We have a complete redemption. And in Romans chapter 8, Paul lines out that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the children of God, namely for the redemption of our bodies, for the translation of our bodies, and by it for the rapture, and then the mystery of God with the church is finished. If one advances in age, then the cares are coming, how it shall go on. He who is a believer rejoices with every day, for it is a day closer to the glory of God. A day closer where one can say farewell to this miserable earth. Paul wrote already then, "I would like to be with the Lord, but for your sakes, I rather remain here." How often I have said to the Lord already, "I would like to do everything, but I don't want to preach anymore. And what shall I do? I'm grateful to God that I can preach this full gospel. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My Lord is worthy of all glory and all honor." Just be honest. From all of the time of the Old Testament, only two did not have to die, and the third so halfway by the skin of his teeth. This was Moses, who then died, whom it then was argued about, whom then the angels have taken away. But everything else was holden by death. And whoever has read in Luke 16, he knows the story of the poor man and of the rich Lazarus. Now somebody may say, Brother Frank, you are mistaken. You had a slip of the tongue, for it was the rich man and the poor Lazarus. No, to me it was the other way around. The earthly rich man was poor in the spirit, and the earthly poor was rich in the spirit. And I'm asking you, would one have wanted to swap with the other? The rich one, yes, not the poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And sometimes, for rich people, it is a big problem to get saved. And here nobody should be angry with me. And I don't need your money anyway. Everyone who knows me knows that. And God has known it for a long time anyway. But to one man, to whom the wealth stood in his way, to this young man, to him the Lord said, sell everything what you have, then you will have a treasure in heaven. And according to Brother Branham, it was the rich young man who is referred to in Luke 16 as the rich man in the scripture. Just imagine having had an encounter with Jesus. The Lord looked at him and loved him. That's how it is written. And he has seen that he is attached to wealth like the devil to souls. And then he says, sell everything what you have. And what happened? He walked away sadly. But then he was the one who woke up too late. There are people who wake up here under the proclamation of the word. Others wake up when it is too late. And then they look over. And you all know, in the Old Testament time, both was down. The paradise as the place of the saved saints, and a gulf separated the one area from the other area. But no one could cross this gulf. That didn't work. But the rich man said, send to Abraham or whatever, that somebody comes to help me and gives me some water. These are not only stories. This is reality. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There are saved ones and lost ones. And this must be said very clearly. Whoever has not yet received salvation, he is still lost. That's how it is, but can still be saved today. Hallelujah. Praise and glory be to our God. We are not here to announce judgment. I refer here to the words of my Lord, who said, the Son of God did not come to judge the world, but that the world is saved through him. We are not here to judge by our preaching. We are here to show mankind the way of God to salvation. Blessed is he who understood that it is the Lord who speaks with us. Do you think it's only addressed to you? The same word is also addressed to me in this hour. Let us read on from Hebrews chapter 2. For me, this matter is dead serious. Hebrews chapter 2. Here we read verse 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. That's how it is written in the Holy Scripture. So, he will not have dealt gently with him. It was the task to make an end to the author of all calamity, to defeat him, and he cannot do more than God allows him. I read it again, and then also verse 15, that through his death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And listen what comes now. And deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Death has taught the people to fear. They were subject to bondage, enslaving them. But the Prince of Life has come into an earthly body so that he could suffer and die. He not only came to die, he came to take away the power from death and to destroy death and the one who had the power over death, namely the devil. And I ask you today, has he done it? Amen. This he did. He died on the cross. He went after him into the lowest parts. He confronted him. And even it was in the last corner, there was no hiding place anymore. Satan, he did what he wanted to do, killing people, children, all. And he thought, here I rule, here I decide. No, no longer, no more. Since Calvary, no more, since that day when on the cross the price was paid. The devil has no more the keys of hell and of death. Jesus Christ our Lord has them, who destroyed death and the devil. Beloved, if this is true, please pardon me this word if, because it most certainly doesn't belong here. But because it is true, we may of course rejoice in our God. To the believers, the Lord said, he who believes in me will live although he dies. And afterwards he asks, do you believe this? And Martha said, yes, I believe. And the Lord says, he who lives and believes in me shall never die. He just changes the dwelling place. He goes from this body into the other body. Death means separation, separation from this world. That's the bodily death. The spiritual death is the separation from God. The reconciled ones are joined with God. The middle wall of partition was taken away. The enmity is abolished. Now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Believe it today with all your heart, and it shall be given to all of us. But this the Lord could not have done in the spiritual body, because as Yahweh in the spiritual body, he could not die. He was immortal. Therefore, he had to create himself a holy earthly body. And this happened when the word of the divine promise came to Mary, and then Jesus was born. Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this you can believe me, there is only one who is almighty, not two. The one wants to get involved here and there a little, but when it comes down to it, then the limits have been set for him. There is only one almighty, and this is the living God. And the living God revealed himself in Jesus Christ our Lord. And this I can tell you, all the prophets who went to paradise, all right, they had to wait there until this day came. But the Lord has laid a living hope into their hearts. Let us keep in mind this verse very well, and let us keep this verse in our hearts, that through his death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, not only to redeem us, but to destroy Satan, who had the power of death. This took place on the cross of Calvary, and then the Lord descended, and also down there he proved this victory, this absolute victory of God. And this the devil and all of hell must respect. The devil will not have any respect before you and before me, but before the Lord and his word, he will have to bow down. And therefore, we don't come in our own name and not with our own authority. We come in the name of Jesus Christ and with the authority of the Word of God. And the Word of God tells us that he, through his death, destroyed him who had the power of death, namely the devil. Just say amen. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. I read a bit on 1 Peter, a very wonderful word. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. For Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. So, between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, something very great happened. The Lord didn't rest in the tomb. There his body rested. He went down to down there proclaim the victory of God, to also clean up there, to subdue everything under him. For he is the victor of Calvary. In the Spirit, he descended and preached to the souls in prison. Now, firstly to them who didn't believe, who were lost, he confirmed what all his servants and prophets proclaimed from the ancient time. And then, when he conquered and defeated hell and the devil, he crossed over into the other area. Oh, how Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, and all the prophets, all the just, all who waited for the comfort and for the redemption of Israel. How must they have felt when the Lord, the Redeemer, came to them? Oh, Abraham, probably he said, I have seen you at that time when I sat under this oak tree and you visited me. All men of God, all prophets, all who persevered and waited, they knew this is the hour on which we were waiting for. And I can imagine that Job was one of them who have been waiting for it the most. Him the devil terribly attacked, all his house destroyed, one terrible news after the other. And then he sat on the ash heap and was on one hand comforted, on the other hand mocked. But the Holy Scripture says Job did not sin with his lips. He also argued, but he didn't sin. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and my eyes shall see him, not another, though my reins be consumed within me. This German term is hardly used today. More than a longing was in his heart, now it was fulfilled. What a jubilation will have been there. What a joy. The Lord will have said, my people, it is finished. Death has lost its power. The devil is defeated. Come, we go up. Hallelujah. Also this I will still read to you. And if we can believe it, that also we received the promise of overcoming death as people who at the return of Jesus will still be alive. Do you know that this is written? We who are alive and remain shall not precede them who sleep. They will be resurrected and we will be changed without seeing death. Hallelujah! Praise and glory be to our God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 to 10. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Hallelujah! Everything was worthwhile. The dying on the cross was worthwhile. The descending to hell was worthwhile. The resurrection was worthwhile. The psalm writer has said, open ye ancient gates, and let the King of glory come in. And the question comes, who is this King of glory? And the answer comes, the Lord strong and mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. Open ye everlasting doors. And I tell you, then they opened. And then the Old Testament victory crowd, together with our Lord, they entered the golden streets. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. What a day this will be when the completion takes place. And all from the time of the old and of the new covenant will be united with the Lord. What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what didn't enter into any man's heart, this God prepared for them who love Him. And Brother Rus has read the word. He who loves me, he will keep my word. Oh, we thank God for His holy word. We thank God for Calvary. And we also thank Him that He had no fear to go down and to make there an end to the matter. I cannot do otherwise but to still read you from the book of Revelation, chapter 1, that verse. Revelation, chapter 1. Here it says, from verse 17, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Hallelujah. These are the true words of our Lord. And we believe them with all our heart and with all our soul. Right afterwards it says, "Write the things which thou hast seen." We thank God that everything was written down. Hallelujah. It was written to us that the Messiah would come. We find everything written, how he came, what he did, and what happened. From his birth, up to his ascension, yes, up to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and his subsequent deeds. Everything was written down. Thanks be to our God that we can believe, as the scripture says, "Death meant, now I have you also. But it was written, death, I will be thy plagues. Hell, I will be your pestilence." And I tell you, they all got sick down there. And I don't say this lightly. My Lord and Redeemer manifested also there the mighty victory of Calvary, not only with words, but in the deed and in the truth. Because until then, the devil had to say so. He had the key. From that time on, the Lord had the key of death and of hell. Therefore, we also can call out with Paul, "Death, where's thy sting? Hell, where's thy victory?" Thanks be to God who has given us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all who believe it say Amen. Amen. Let us stand up and thank the Lord with all our hearts. We sing in reverence and worship the chorus, Thou art worthy with all our hearts. Thou art worthy. Thou art worthy. O Lord, to receive praise, honor, glory, and worship. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Beloved, who can from today on really believe it with all his heart that we were absolutely and totally redeemed? Who can believe that death, devil, and hell were defeated? Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. This is not a story. This is history of the plan of salvation. Divine reality with his people, realization of the promises of God, and we may have part in it, and may the world think of us what they like. We know in whom we believe. Hallelujah! Praise and glory be to our God. Now we want to thank the Lord together in prayer. We sing in the meantime Only Believe, but today not only one praise. Today we pray all as with one voice from a thankful heart. Only Believe. With all our hearts, we thank you together that the scriptures which we looked at have become true. They found confirmation and they were fulfilled. We can rely on you and on your word throughout all eternity. Faithful God in heaven, this evening means very much to me. Faithful God, it is my prayer that the word, yes, the words of the scripture which we looked at today fall deep into our hearts and are believed, so that all fear and hesitation and unbelief be taken from us, and that we can trust and believe you, so that your glory can be manifested. We thank you that you call out from all peoples, tongues and nations. The number will get full and they will enter glory. We thank you with all our hearts for Calvary. We thank you that you descended to hell, that you defeated Satan, that you conquered death. Hallelujah! Praise and glory be to you throughout all eternity. Hallelujah! Amen.